Hello and welcome to Podiatrics Pediatric Podcasts. Today we're going to be talking about obstructive hydrocephalus. So this is the second podcast in our 3-episode mini-series on neurology. And today's podcast actually came as when I used to sit progress tests as a medical student, I used to write down things that would come up in exams, and I'd read through them afterwards, and I rediscovered this document last week. So one of the things was cerebrospinal fluid pathway, and in progress test, because there are recognized conditions that give you recognized CT findings, this is a pretty important topic. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through some cases. I'm going to give you some tips for exams with questions related to cerebrospinal fluid flow and obstructive hydrocephalus. So why is it really important? Really easy to write questions on, and it is directly applicable neuroanatomy that has clinical and radiological features, so it's perfect to write exam questions on. So we're going to be talking about obstructive hydrocephalus. So obstructive hydrocephalus, that is the focus of today's podcast, is due to a blockage in your cerebrospinal fluid pathway. Most commonly, this occurs in what we call the foramen of Munro, okay? And we'll talk about that and the significance of it, followed by the aqueduct of Sylvius. You can also get fourth ventricle and foramen magnum, okay? There are lots of different types of tumours that can affect these areas as well, okay? Including things like posterior fossa tumours. But I'm going to try and keep it as simple as I can today. So obstructive hydrocephalus is through a block in your cerebrospinal fluid pathway. Communicating hydrocephalus, that is the other main form that you may have heard of, is because of impaired absorption. You've got hypersecretory hydrocephalus, which is when you overproduce CSF, and you've got normal pressure hydrocephalus, which is a communicating hydrocephalus that tends to be in older age, which is why we're not going to focus on it. We're going to talk about obstructive hydrocephalus today. So cerebrospinal fluid that bathes your brain and your spinal fluid is produced by your choroid plexus. That is a plexus or a connection of cells that is located within your lateral ventricles, your third ventricle and your fourth ventricle. And then it has this convoluted journey through your ventricular system from your lateral. So you've got two lateral ventricles to what comes after two, three, so your third ventricle, okay, and that's via the foramen of Munro. These terms we'll talk about later on, and it travels from the third to the fourth ventricle via the cerebral aqueduct, or sometimes called the aqueduct of Sylvius. It leaves your fourth ventricle through your lateral L, foramen of L. Luschke, and your median foramen, or M for Magendie, to enter your basal cisterns, and then flows around spinal cord and central canal of the spinal cord. The main ways that you reabsorb CSF are your arachnoid granulations that are in your dural venous sinuses, okay, which is really, really important, okay? So the average CSF volume is about 150 mil and your daily production is about 500 mil. So basically you replace your total CSF volume about 3 times in every 24 hours. Okay, so any physical or functional obstruction within this ventricular system, so lateral ventricles, third ventricle, fourth ventricle, or sinuses, or your subarachnoid space, can give you hydrocephalus, okay? So it's really, really important for you to understand. We've got something called your Munro-Kelly hypothesis, that means the total volume of your brain, your cerebrospinal fluid, and your blood within the skull is constant. If you increase one of these compartments, so for example, an increase in CSF and hydrocephalus, it must accompany a decrease in the volume of another compartment, okay? Otherwise, the pressure will go up. This is what your hydrocephalus is, okay? So enough of the boring stuff, the clinically applicable stuff. So we have got, just to recap, we've got lateral ventricles, then we've got your foramen of Munro that helps connect your lateral ventricles to your third ventricle. We've then got your cerebral aqueduct, or your aqueduct of Sylvius, that connects the third to the fourth, and you've got the foramen of Magendie and Lushka that then connect you to your subarachnoid space. Okay, so if I give you a case now, we've got a 10-year-old boy who presents with headache, anorexia and vomiting, and he's basically been referred and they decide they want to do a CT scan. Okay, so this patient has what they believe on the CT scan to have a lesion at the level of the foramen of Munro. Okay, so let's first, and then there's an 11-year-old girl, also part of this case, with a long history of headache, and she's referred for a brain MRI, and again, she has a lesion at the level of the foramen of Munro. So my question is, we've got a 10-year-old boy who's got a lesion at the foramen of Munro, and he's got this in common with an 11-year-old who've got the same thing. So, very, very importantly, how do we know it's a lesion at the foramen of Munro? Well, we know that the foramen of Munro connects your lateral ventricles to your third ventricle. So, this patient, or in fact, these patients, have dilated lateral ventricles because they've got an obstruction at the level of the foramen of Munro. My number one exam tip is when you are told in an exam CT scan findings. So for example, in this case, they would probably say, this patient has got dilated lateral ventricles with a normal third ventricle and fourth ventricle. Which of the following anatomical sites is most likely to be obstructed? You would say foramen of Munro. Because actually, if you were to obstruct lower than that, for example, the aqueduct of Sylvius, you would have a dilated third ventricle. And if it was the foramen of Magendie and Lushka, you would get a dilated fourth ventricle. Okay, so do you see where I'm going with this? So for the first case that we've talked about on those two patients, we know that they've got a lesion at the level of the foramen of Munro because they've got dilated lateral ventricles. Okay, the next question is, we have got a patient that has got enlarged lateral ventricles and a third ventricle. Okay, so the lateral ventricles and the third ventricles are both dilated. So is it A, foramen of Munro, B, aqueduct of Sylvius, or 3, foramen of Magendie and Lushka? We know actually that the foramen of Munro connects your lateral ventricles to your third ventricle. So if you've got obstruction at the level of the foramen of Munro, you obstruct everything above that, which would be your lateral ventricles. If you had an obstruction at the level of the aqueduct of Sylvius, that is the next big hole, you would get dilation of your lateral ventricles and your third ventricle, which is what we've got here. So it's actually a case of aqueductal stenosis. And if you're interested, Google CT scan Mickey Mouse sign, as in the cartoon character, and you'll see some quite interesting things. So because we've got aqueductal stenosis or narrowing of your aqueduct of Sylvius or your cerebral aqueduct, we get lateral ventricular dilatation and third ventricle. Okay, aqueductal stenosis is really important because it causes triventricular obstructive hydrocephalus. So what we mean by that is you've got two lateral ventricles and you've got one third ventricle. So triventricular obstructive hydrocephalus is dilation of your lateral ventricles and your third ventricle. Okay, so, and then for case number 3, we have got a 9-year-old who has got dilation of, this based on real case, has got dilation of their lateral ventricles, third ventricle and fourth ventricle. The most likely one of our 3 anatomical sites then is the foramen of Magendie and Lushka that connects your fourth ventricle to your subarachnoid space. So if we just recap what we've said, so the first question I want to ask you is, I've got 3 descriptions and I've got 3 anatomical sites. So for number 1, we've got dilated lateral ventricles. For number 2, dilated lateral ventricles and third ventricle. Question number 3, dilated lateral ventricles, third ventricle and fourth ventricle. And the options are foramen of Munro, foramen of Lushka and Magendie, and aqueduct of Sylvius. So if we go through that now, the dilated lateral ventricles, obstruction at the level of the foramen of Munro. Dilated lateral ventricles and third ventricle is the next one down. That would be the aqueduct of Sylvius or the cerebral aqueduct. Dilated lateral ventricles, third ventricle and fourth ventricle would be for the foramen of Lushka laterally and the foramen of Magendie medially. So we'll go through that again. So the way I like to remember the pathway is you've got lateral ventricles, then you've got a third ventricle, then you've got a fourth ventricle, then you've got your subarachnoid space. So the way I remember it is your foramen of Munro, okay, or sometimes called your interventricular foramina, which makes sense because it's between your two lateral ventricles. Munro, for me, sounds very much, if you take the R off, as being mono, and mono means one, okay, mono brow. So mono means one, Munro, mono, one. So that's your first foramen. And therefore, if it's your first foramen, it connects your two lateral ventricles, okay? So it's basically between your lateral ventricles and your third ventricles. So that's your first foramen. So it's a communication between your lateral ventricles and your third ventricle. Aqueduct, for me, which is the next one. Aqueducts carry water. Water is H2O. So the aqueduct of Sylvius, or the cerebral aqueduct, carries water. Okay, an aqueduct carries water. H2O is your second hole. Okay. So the second one, therefore, is going to connect your third ventricle to your fourth ventricle. And then finally, you've got the lateral foramen of Luschke and the medial, okay, the medial foramen of Magendie that connect your fourth ventricle to your central canal with your subarachnoid space. So therefore, if you think about it in your head, if you have an obstruction at the level of the foramen of Munro, Munro, mono is your first hole, and that is what connects your lateral ventricles to your third ventricle. So if you had a cyst or an obstruction in your foramen of Munro, the CSF would just accumulate in your lateral ventricles and can't pass into your third ventricle. If you've got the next hole down, H2O, aqueduct, water, your cerebral aqueduct, that connects your third ventricle to your fourth ventricle, if you've got an obstruction at the level of that, the CSF can't get into the fourth ventricle and would back up and dilate your lateral ventricles and your third ventricle. And then the final thing to mention is that foramen of Luschke and Magendie, if they were obstructed, you would get dilatation of your fourth ventricle, your third ventricle, and your lateral ventricles. So I hope that has been very useful. So remember, summary points are as follows. Dilated lateral ventricles, obstruction at the level of the foramen of Munro, dilated lateral ventricles and third ventricle, aqueduct of Sylvius or cerebral aqueduct, dilated lateral ventricles, third ventricle and fourth ventricle, foramen of Luschke and Magendie obstruction. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for part 3. Thank you.